Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program, the last episode of the year. It's time to look at a new plan for a new year. So today, we're talking about setting your real estate goals for 2017 on the Real Estate Guys radio program. All aboard. Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 15th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning in 2017 are sales legend Tom Hopkins, international developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Raul, commercial mortgage broker and syndicator Michael Becker, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Plus, joining us live and in person for his fifth Investor Summit, Peter Schiff. Plus, more to be announced. It all begins April 1st, 2017 in Houston, Texas. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event, and you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, financial strategist, co-host Russell Bray.
Hey, Robert.
The year is wrapping up, and there are so many things to do, and we thought it would be a great time to sit down and talk about your real estate goals for the coming year. As real estate investors, we're out there busy chasing deals and looking at markets and analyzing properties, and we have to step back and work on our business rather than spending all the time working in the business, as Michael Gerber would say. And so today it's really about how do we set a new plan for a new year?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of paper asset investors have somewhat of an advantage in that they can go to financial planners. They can go to people who understand how to set a long-term goal, break it down into actionable steps, asset allocation models, and begin to help organize a portfolio. There's not a lot of that in the real estate realm. And so it's really up to the individual real estate investor to kind of figure out how do I get to where I want to go? And there's different components to it. There's obviously a math component. You have to understand how to do the math, not just to analyze a deal, but to figure out how to manage your portfolio. Portfolio management is something I don't see a lot of attention given to in the real estate investing community. Everybody's about the deal. And if you just do enough deals, maybe the assumption is the portfolio takes care of itself. And that could be true. But I think that, you know, we've done a lot of mathematical modeling over the years, Robert, and we've seen that if we would just take a little bit of time and look at the overall portfolio and talk about how do we manage debt, equity, and cash flow to optimize our growth and get where we want to go, you know, we can get there a lot faster. And then in addition to the math, there's some art. There's the art of real estate because every deal is different. There's so much creativity in terms of being able to create value, force equity, increase cash flow, reduce turnover, and end up with more net operating income. And so that's important. There's a big proactive part of it where we are going to go out there and we're going to take charge of it. We're going to make things happen. That's one of the huge advantages that we have as real estate investors is we have a lot of control over the investment as compared to paper asset investors who really go on a roller coaster ride with whatever's going on in the macro economy and the financial markets. But there's also a reactive component, and that is you got to take what the market gives you, and you don't get to control that. things that are outside of your control, like the economy and what's going on with interest rates, those things you don't really have any control over. And then I think the other thing that we want to talk about today is the inward focus and the outward focus. You know, inward focus being what you're trying to accomplish in your life and how real estate facilitates that. And then the outward focus is really what you would like your life to do for the rest of the world. And that's, I think, a big part of being an investor as well. So these are all part of the things we think about when we're going to do goal setting from a real estate investing perspective.
You know, we had asked the Guy Show last week, had a great question from a listener who was saying, once I figure out my personal investment philosophy, who I am as a real estate investor, how do I match that with a market or a strategy or a product type? And we answered that. So go back and listen to that show if you didn't hear it. But the bigger picture is just, how do I take who I am and translate that into what I want to go do as a real estate investor? Most people listening to this show are not full-time in real estate. They're investing in real estate on the side, if you will. They have busy lives, they have jobs, they have other interests. A few of the folks listening are full-time into real estate, and either way, this is an important time of year to get focused on what's coming next. Goal setting is one of the most powerful activities you can go through. And doing it as a real estate investor means talking about the things Russ mentioned, but also getting in touch with your inner investor. Who are you as a real estate investor? What are you trying to accomplish? There is certainly the financial side, and most people get involved in real estate for the financial side, cash flow, growth of equity, increase in my asset value, all those reasons. But at the same time, if the type and style of real estate that you do doesn't excite you, doesn't get you going, then it's hard to stick with it. There's certainly the argument to be made that, hey, I can just figure out a way to put some money into a private placement or a REIT or something like that and have the benefits of real estate without having to really learn everything about it. But again, an active, educated investor, someone who spends time listening to podcasts, is probably going to be more in control and needs to be. And so today we're just going to talk through kind of what are the things you should be thinking about as you set your real estate goals for the new year.
Yeah, so normally I would say, hey, let's start out on internal, external mission. But I think what I'd like to do is let's start out just talking about the math. You know, at the end of the day, this is a business of finances and money and making money and return on investment and cash flow. And when you get down to goal setting, that has a lot to do with just coming up with a plan. And so I think for most people, when they get started in real estate investing, you know, quote Robert Kiyosaki, what they're after is getting out of the rat race. The idea of getting out of the rat race is you don't have to get up every day and trade time for dollars. You can get up and every day and do whatever you want. And the money comes in anyway because it's coming in passively. It's not coming in from any activity you're involved in. That way your activities don't have to be dictated by the return on time. So the first thing to figure out really is, what is your out of the rat race number? What's your number for monthly passive income? And how much of that do you need coming in? And then the next thing in your math is, what's your assumed cash flow, yield on equity? Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to deploy capital in order to get a return on it, in order to create that monthly cash flow. So you've got two numbers you're aiming at. You say, what's my monthly cash flow? And then what is this concept we call critical mass? How much equity do I have at what yield in order to get to the critical mass?
I think there's another nuance to it as well. And everything you said, absolutely. And we're going to talk through what that means. But we do have listeners who are more active in at least a portion of their real estate investing. We talk often on this show that something like rehabbing or flipping a house isn't really real estate investing, but if it's part of what you do, it needs to be part of your real estate goal setting. So maybe it's all passive income coming in, or maybe it's not. And I think we really have to address both.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And the key is, the context of, is where does it fit in? So let's say you wanted $10,000 a month of passive income. That's $120,000 a year. And that's your ultimate strategic objective. That's what your investment strategy, your career is all about, is getting you to that point. I want to get out of the rat race. Maybe your number's 20. Maybe your number's 100. Maybe your number's 1,000. Doesn't really matter. It's just a number. I pick 10,000 because it's an easy number to do your math on. So if you need to have $120,000 a year and you can get 10% yield on your equity, then you're going to need $1.2 million of equity. And that becomes a target for you. If you could only get, say, 5%, then your number would be $2.4 million. It would be double the amount because you get half the yield. So let's just, for sake of this illustration, use $2.4 million as the number. Well, if you were able to start out with $100,000 and you could get a 20% equity growth rate, and that may seem high, but mathematically, it's really not that big of a deal in real estate. You can do a lot better than that. If you were to invest, say, 25% down on a property, you're going to control four parts of property for one part of down payment. You have 4-to-1 leverage. If you were to get 5% annual appreciation on that particular property, you would get 5% times four parts, three parts on the bank's money and one part on your money. You would get a total of 20% of equity growth on your money. So getting 20% is not hard. At the end of 18 years, you would have $2.6 million and you would be at your number. You would be at critical mass.
Now, again, that's equity. That's not cash flow. That's achieving an increase in what your assets are worth over time. And leverage can certainly help in that regard. One of the reasons we're big fans of leverage. But as you're looking at your personal investment philosophy, one of the continuums we talk about is how conservative or aggressive you may be. Many of us here, 25% down, 75% loan to value, and think, wow, that's really conservative. I remember you and I, Russ, were speaking at an apartment association event, and we talked about how many of you think 50% down is just hog wild, crazy, out of the box, aggressive financing. And there were some old guys in the room raising their hand. Some people are definitely more conservative than that. So it all is in context of who you are as an investor.
Well, and this is how, when you have your goal, and your goal is to get to $2.4 million, and you already have $2.4 million, then your objective isn't how to get to $2.4 million. You're not trying to solve for that problem. You're there. What you're trying to figure out is, how do I get 5% yield on my money? And there are people out there like that. You know, the syndicators, we look for people who are out there like that. They're having a hard time with yield, but they've got the capital. They've made it in business. They've done whatever. And so they're not interested in leverage. They're just interested in return on equity. But I'm guessing most of the people listening to this show and most of the people out there are going to have to use leverage to accelerate equity to get where they want to go so they can become those people. And that's fine. And that's where leverage fits in. And that's where leverage is our best friend. But this is also going back to your comment earlier, Robert, about flipping. Sometimes, you know, people are like, well, that's great. But I mean, your illustration was $100,000. And I can think of 100,000 reasons why I can't do that.
Right.
Well, that's why maybe you go flip two or three houses until you've got the $100,000. And so this is the concept in goal setting. You have short-term goals, you have long-term goals. And then once you have your goals, you have to create strategies to do them. And then a lot of what you have to create is based on what you have to work with. Somebody here might be saying, I've got 100 grand just sitting around. I've got $200,000 idle equity in a property. I've got money in an IRA. I've got money in the stock market. I've got money in savings. Other people might say, I don't have two nickels to rub together. Doesn't mean you're out of the game. It just means you have to take a different strategy. So, you know, we can't come up in a show like this with a one size fits all goal setting strategy. This isn't about giving you a blueprint on how to get from point A to point B. It's really to stimulate you into understanding that, number one, you got to have goals. And those goals have to be based on where you want to go from where you're starting from. And then your strategies will grow out of what you have to work with and where you want to get to. And so we're going to touch on a lot of those different things so that you can go back and sit down in the quietness of your own room with a pad of paper, a pencil, and a calculator and start thinking through these things and figuring out, how can I create an actionable game plan? And this is the time of year to do it, because we're standing on the threshold of a brand new, fresh year. So everything in the past is a past. If you had success, that's interesting. But, you know, what have you done for me lately? And then if you've had setbacks, whatever, that's your past. And don't get forward except for the lessons. The thing is, where are you at right now? Where do you want to go? What do you have to work with? And how can you begin to take actionable steps to get there? And that's really what the math portion of this is all about.
Well, and the math's critical, right? Especially because as we look at our finances, we know things like compounding interest. And as we continue to chip away at real estate investing, we get better at it. We get in better relationships. We find better deals. We find markets that make sense, and providers and team members that help us. And all those things make us better investors. But without a plan, it's just kind of haphazard. You're like a pinball bouncing around. What setting some time at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year facing a new year is all about is making sure that you have a path you're headed towards. You're never going to hit exactly 100% your plan. No business plan ever works that way. But having a plan is going to give you a much better possibility of doing well, and it's going to get you thinking about it. And the reason we like starting with the math is it lets you think from a financial perspective, what really can real estate do for me? I mean, this month, it's hard to put a plan together for 30 days from now, the income that's going to come in from real estate. But if we talk 10 years out, 20 years out, and then we break those down into what has to happen in 2017, then lo and behold, there is a doable science to this.
Well, and the thing is, when you get good at it, you can actually compress timeframes. 18 years may seem like a way off, but that was an extremely conservative strategy. You come up with something a little bit more aggressive. You start with a bigger number. You find ways to force equity. Then you can go a lot faster. If you're flipping two or three houses a year and making $100,000 every single year, imagine how much faster you go. The key is not consuming that equity. And this goes back to this other thing. Do I want to be full-time? Do I want to be part-time? If you're full-time, you've got to make a living, right? You've got to either eat off of the equity that you're pulling off of properties, which can be dangerous because you're consuming the goose, if you will, the principal that's laying the golden eggs or that you hope will begin to lay the golden eggs of passive income. So every bit you take out of it along the way slows down how big that goose gets and how big those eggs will eventually be. So the more you can leave in principal, the more you can leave growing, better, but you got to eat along the way. The other thing is you could die tomorrow, right? So you want to make sure that you're not, you know, not enjoying your life as you go along the way. So we'll have some ideas as we progress through the show on how you can create income while you go without eating into your own portfolio. But the idea is that you're going to have two kind of phases as you're in this part of your career. In the beginning, you're about accumulating the equity. That's about equity growth. So it's accumulation phase. And then at some point you get to critical mass and then you're managing everything for income. Now, it's not necessarily a hard stop. I mean, we're using very simplistic concepts here. But the point is, most investors, whether you're a paper asset investor or a real estate investor, in the early years of your career, you're very focused on equity growth because you have to have equity in order to create streams of passive income, to have money to invest. And how you choose to approach the real estate game is going to depend on what it is you need the real estate deals you're in to do. And again, we're going to argue most of the stuff in the beginning is a lot more equity focused than income focused. And I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about the relationship between the two of them because they are very, very much related.
We're talking about setting your real estate goals for the new year. Lots to discuss and more when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. The number one concern of all Americans is still money. So are you ready for another way? I've spent the last 10 years teaching people like you a superior way to build wealth and financial independence outside of Wall Street. I've developed a free e-learning program called Infinite 101, where you can learn about the perpetual wealth strategy. In this free program, you'll learn how to build your wealth without a 401k, IRA, or mutual funds. You'll also learn how to establish private financing without ever having to walk into a bank again. These are just two of the many ways this free program can propel you toward financial independence. Simply go to paradigmlife.net and click on the register button on the top right corner of the page to gain instant access.
Hi, this is Peter Schiff, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We have this wonderful little end of the year, beginning of the year time where we start thinking about what's the new year going to look like and what are we going to accomplish and what's going to be amazing. And we thought we'd take some time this week to talk specifically about your real estate goals. And we were talking before the break about this idea of critical mass. And in our world, that means that there's two basic phases to your career as a real estate investor. The accumulation phase, where you're getting more and more and more property, more and more equity, bigger and more cash flow, more durable income. And then you reach a point where you have enough of a nest egg to be able to turn that around and say, great, if I just deployed that in pure cash flow, I'd have enough money coming in every month that I wouldn't have to do anything else. It doesn't mean you don't do anything else. It means you wouldn't have to. And the number Russ used, and you're going to pick your own number, is $10,000 a month. If I could get to $10,000 a month of passive cash flow, wow, that would be great. And then anything else I do is just gravy. To get to that, the number is $2.4 million in equity at a 5% yield. Meaning if I got to $2.4 million of equity in a property and multiple properties, whatever it is, and they're performing at a 5% cash flow, then that's going to give me the $120,000 a year or $10,000 a month that I need. Now, your mileage may vary. Your numbers will be different, but that's the basis of the math we're starting.
Yeah. And the thing is, once you get there, I mean, there's so many different things you can do. You could take $2.4 million and buy a property for cash that had a 5% NOI and you're there. That would be a way to do it. Another way to do it would be to buy a $10 million building at, say, 4-to-1, and you still end up with the same yield, but you have a lot more potential to increase equity and to increase cash flow because you have a much larger asset or collection of assets.
You could have 10 single-family houses valued at $240,000 that just cash flow. You could put all that money into a real estate investment trust or a private placement. Lots of things you can do with it, and that's going to feed into your investment philosophy, who you are as an investor. If you get the juice by doing deals, that's going to be different than, hey, if I'm just about the $10,000 a month coming in and I'll let some professional manager handle it for me. But that part you're going to figure out. But the part about what the numbers look like are critical, especially when you're starting out. If you're brand new in real estate investing, you may go, wow, $2.4 million, that's going to take me forever. Well, that's not necessarily true. And the more time you focus on it and the more planning you do, the better chance you'll have of getting there.
Well, I mean, look at Brad Sumrock. So Brad is going to be coming on our Investor Summit at Sea. And Brad is a guy that worked in corporate America for the first 17 years of his working life. And at age 35, just looked at the long, slow slog to get to retirement. Started out at 35. And at 38, he was done. He had $1 million cash. Never really invested in real estate prior to that. And then he started a business teaching other people how to do that. And I've been to a couple of the classes and they're fabulous. So you can compress time frames for sure. It's just that when you start talking to people about get rich quick in real estate, it reeks of run to the back of the room late night stuff that where people have been taken advantage of. And so I just think that having a good conservative plan on how you're going to do it long term, and this is something we kind of could borrow from Ray Lucia, who used to talk about the buckets of money. And the concept is you'd have your bucket A, which is your conservative short term, what you need right now money. Your second bucket would be kind of the midterm, and then your third bucket would be long-term. And I think most investors would be well-served to do that. So you can have in your real estate investing goals a conservative strategy that says, look, I'm certainly willing to go out and take on a big project, take a risk, but I'm going to have a chunk of my money inside of this ring, my inner circle, where I'm going to be super conservative with it. I'm going to have a 20-year plan, and I'm not going to deviate from that plan. I'm not going to risk the assets in there to do anything more daring. And then I'll go create wealth in other ways. And I'll do something a little bit more daring in my outer ring of risk, and then you keep moving out. So that even if your more speculative deals, your more risky deals don't pan out, you haven't bet the farm on any one deal or on any one strategy. And I think that is also an important part of real estate investing goal setting is not just having one plan or one thing, but having two or three different things that all fit together within each other. For example, you could have your plan to work at a day job and invest in real estate part-time, and now you're not going to take any income, no cash flow, no equity out of your property. You're going to get 100% of your real estate investing, continuing to recycle and grow so you can compress time frames and get to retirement quicker. No different than somebody who's plowing money into their 401k plan and doesn't expect to take any of that, you know, until they're in their 60s. Or you may decide, hey, I'm going to syndicate. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go full time. I don't have enough of my own money to go full time, and I want to keep 100% of my own money working towards the long term picture. But as a syndicator, I'm going to take the skills that I have, and I know how to make money in real estate, and I'm going to serve other investors and charge them a fee for that service, maybe some profit sharing, like we talk about at the Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar. And now I'm able to make a living doing real estate while I'm managing my own portfolio without having to live off my own portfolio. So my long-term plan is working. I'm making a living in the short term. Of course, ultimately, that takes you to the lifestyle decisions you have to make about whether or not you even want to be in real estate full-time.
Well, and maybe that's a good time to take kind of a quick aside here. And in our annual goals retreat, which, by the way, is coming up the first weekend of the new year, still a few seats left if you want to come out and really figure out who you are and where you're going in your life. It's an immersive experience, and it's not just about real estate. In fact, we only do 15 minutes on real estate. The rest is about everything else in your life. You can find the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Look for Create Your Future. But during the event, we do an optional 15-minute section for real estate investors, since a lot of the folks in our world are geared that way. And what we talk about is the metrics that you're going to use to set goals for the coming year. And they aren't all numbers. What's great about goal setting is that if it's specific and measurable, it can get done. If it's, you know, evasive and vague, it's not going to happen. You can't say, I want to be happy and rich. Those aren't goals. It's always specific and measurable. So just to give you an example of some of the things that real estate investors can set goals for, it isn't all about the dollars coming in. I have people come up with a number to how many hours they'll devote to their education each month. If you're going to get smarter and better as a real estate investor, well, then how much time will you set aside? And then, of course, we have to calendar that time. But the first is, how much time do you need? If you already know it all and you just have to go take action, well, awesome. I'd love to learn from you, because I sure don't know it all when it comes to real estate. I have to devote time to my real estate education every month. That's how we get better. That's how we get smarter. How many properties will you research in a month? Because we certainly look at a lot more properties than we ever offer on. So that could be a metric. And then we do talk about, in the section of real estate goal setting, what's your plan for 2017? By the end of this year, and this would be in January of the new year, by the end of this year, how many additional properties will you have? Now, sometimes you can be really clear about that, and sometimes you don't know, but writing a number down is powerful. For many people, this might not be a year of acquisition for you. Maybe this is all about getting ready and getting structured and getting educated and finding a team and researching markets. Those things aren't going to automatically happen, so you have to take time to put that information down. And then the lifestyle part of it. Where do you want to own real estate? Where do you want to go? How much involvement are you going to have personally? What are your resources? How much cash and cash flow do you currently have? Do you have income from other investments? Is there equity somewhere? What's your credit situation? Do you have credit lines? Are you credit worthy? What relationships do you have? And so there's a lot of things to think through that aren't just financial. Coming up with your number, though, at the beginning is critical, because that way you know what you're driving to.
Yeah, you have to have a business plan. But to your point, Robert, and I think it's an important one, you know, in our syndication mentoring program, the first thing we do when we sit down and do the business strategy consultation when someone first joins the program is we take them through a conversation about their internal and external missions, which don't have anything to do with money, doesn't have anything to do with real estate. It has everything to do with them and how they want to live. And the internal mission is, how do I want to live? what subject matter do I want to be committed to learning about and studying and stay on top of? If you're going to be in any business, you have to stay in the know. And so that takes time and effort. If you hate the subject matter, if it's boring to you, if you don't find it interesting, you're never going to be a top flight performer because you're not going to have the knowledge about what's going on in your industry. So it's important that you think about the things that you're interested in. The great news with real estate is there's so many different ways to do it. You know, over the years, you and I, Robert, have morphed quite a bit. When I first met you, it was C-class, single family homes, apartment buildings, and then medical office development and other types of development, a little bit of shopping centers, and then finally settling in on resort property development, which has been great and it's fun. I never regret or dread having to go visit the projects and the things that are going on because it's just a great experience. And so that has to do with internal mission. Who do you want to work with? Who do you want to work for? And you know, you may think, well, I don't want to work for anybody. Well, everybody works for somebody. You know, Robert and I work for each other. We work for our families. We work for our listeners. We work for our investors. We work for the people in our employment, the vendors, all those people, we work for them. So the question is who do you want to work for? Who do you want to devote your time and effort to be loyal to? Nobody wants to be loyal to somebody they don't like or a group of people that don't believe in the things they believe in. I mean, the thing is, it's amazing how many people default into situations where they're working with people they don't care about in industries they're not interested in, having to stay up on topics they couldn't care less about. What a sad way to exist. So take some time at the beginning of a brand new year and think about who you really want to be around and what types of subject matter, and then daily activities. What do you want to do on a daily basis? What's interesting to you? Some people like traveling. Some people hate traveling. Some people like walking properties. Other people would rather not. Some people like crunching numbers and building spreadsheets. Others not so much. Some people like writing and communicating. Other people can't put three sentences together and don't care to. You don't have to be any of those things to be successful, but you got to be something. And so think about how you want to spend your time every day. And that's also important. And this becomes your internal mission. Now, everything you do with your investing, and if you decide to go full time with your business, all revolves around putting yourself in a situation where you get to spend more of your time doing more of what you want to do with whom you want to do it, immersed in topics that you find extremely interesting and stimulating. And that's living.
Well, and this is critical at the beginning of a year, especially because this is the first day of the rest of your life. As trite as that sounds, lots of us in real estate get stuck doing something just because we've been doing it. This is a great time to sit back and say, is this really what I want to do? The example that you gave about my start in real estate was in C-class multifamily apartments. And that's an area and a demographic I know extremely well. And I know it so well that today I make the strategic decision not to spend much time there. I delegate anything in that area and I spend my time on things that interest me. I do love to travel, so I like to look at and own real estate all over the globe. I'm impassioned about the fact that real estate ownership is the single greatest way to build a financial wall around your family and your future, no matter what country you were born in. And it's a big world out there. But that's me. There are lots of successful real estate investors that never venture more than an hour from their home. So that's the part about really figuring out what you want your real estate life to look like. And if you're full-time and maybe you are raising money for deals, you're syndicating, that's going to look different than if you're just the kind of person that adds a property or two to your portfolio every year. It's not a right or a wrong. It's just figuring out how does real estate integrate into your life. So we're going to urge you as part of your homework to really get some alone time. This is just you and your thoughts. If you think on paper, you can journal. If you just want to be alone and imagine and reimagine your life and your career as a real estate investor, figure out what you want to do, what you want to spend your day doing when it comes to real estate. That's going to take some time and you're going to need to be in the quiet and alone to do it. But take that time and it'll be a great gift to yourself. We're talking about your real estate investment goals for the new year and really for the new you as things are changing in your life, as you're making these decisions. Real estate can support all of that and it's a great opportunity at the beginning of the year to be thinking about it. When we come back, we'll have more for you. Plus, we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, January 6th through 8th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2017 Goals Retreat on the first weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the King of Rock and Roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, author of The Compound Effect, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning in. It's either the end of the year or the beginning of the brand new year, depending on when you're listening. And we're very excited about a new year. Lots of great opportunity in real estate. It won't happen by itself, which is why today we're focusing on our real estate investment goals for the new year and our new plan. Before we get back to the discussion, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question, which of course has something to do with real estate. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, simply send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, your mailing address, so that if you're the winner, we can send you out a great prize. It's a copy of the book My Next Step by RE/MAX co-founder Dave Leniger. It's not a real estate book, but it is an amazing book, and you get a lot of insight into the man that started this amazing real estate company of his, and it'll also have you thinking forward about what you want to do with the rest of your life. Before we give you this week's real estate trivia question, last week it was Ask the Guys, and we asked this. In the movie Home Alone, the McAllister family leave for vacation to France, but leave their young son Kevin behind. In what state do the McAllisters live? Well, that movie was not only set, but shot in the great state of Illinois. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. What do Malta, Sri Lanka, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Fiji, and the Cayman Islands have in common from a real estate perspective? Yep, all of those countries have something in common when it comes to real estate, hence the real estate trivia question. Malta, Sri Lanka, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Fiji, and the Cayman Islands. If you can figure that out, you're going to win a copy of Dave Leniger's great book, My Next Step. Send your best guess along with your mailing address to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. That's today's real estate trivia question. It's a new year and time for a new plan, or maybe a continuation of what you're already doing. This is a great time to practice what we call zero-based thinking. Knowing what I now know, would I continue to do what I'm doing? Would I get into the relationships I have? Would I be in the markets and the properties and with the property professionals that I am right now? Because at the beginning of the new year, it's a time to consider changing.
Absolutely, because you have to have these checkpoints and you evaluate, you know, what you set out to do, what you actually did, where you succeeded, which is great. Celebrate your wins, and that builds momentum and enthusiasm. And then you look at where you fell short, and then you have to do a little bit of critical analysis. Why did I fall short? Was it because I didn't have the right people on the bus, to quote Jim Collins? Was it because I didn't have the personal discipline to do the things that I was supposed to do, that I wanted to do? I've found many times the reason I don't do the things that I think I want to do is because deep down inside, I really don't want to do them. And I have to be brutally honest with myself and go, you know what, Russ, you don't want to do that. You say you want to do that, but you really don't want to do that. And then you have to decide, well, does it need to be done? Or can I shift course? If it does need to be done, then you've got to find some way to get it done by somebody else who loves to do that kind of work. And if it doesn't need to be done, then you need to figure out how to remove it and whatever role it was playing in your overall plan. So these are things that business people go through all the time, just in the course of business. A lot of people that are listening maybe have jobs where somebody else is having to figure all that stuff out, and you haven't developed that mental discipline of needing to go through this process, which is one of the reasons we wanted to bring it to the forefront of your attention as we go into the new year. If you're sitting in a cubicle somewhere, dreaming of freedom, part of that freedom is learning how to solve these more complex problems. That's what business owners and investors, people in the BI side of Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, have to get good at solving. People on the E side are working for people who are solving those problems. And I just feel really sorry for the people on the S side because they have all those problems and they don't have anybody to help them. And that's probably the loneliest of all places to be.
Well, you bring up a really good point, which is as folks evolve as real estate investors, their roles may change. I was considerably more hands-on in my early real estate investing days than I am today. Where are you right now? Are you along a course that is working well and whatever your role is that seems to be what you're good at? Or is it time for a change? Could you step back? Could you have a team around you help support you? And the big jump into, say, from investment to syndication. Well, we've seen lots of people navigate that. That can be a very exciting time. You get to do more deals, have access to more capital. You get to get better and refine your skills. And you're helping folks who don't have the inclination or time or interest in doing that. They just want to passively invest alongside you. But that takes a change in your very makeup, what you do in your day-to-day real estate life. You leverage who you are as a real estate investor as you become a syndicator. And of course, not everyone's going to syndicate, but it is a logical step for many people because they run out of their own money and they run out of their own ability to qualify for loans. And you don't have to stop just because of that. That's why we're so enamored by syndication. And that could be a next step. Or maybe you are close to critical mass and your mission for this year is to figure out how to organize your resources and your assets in such a way that you're taking your foot off the gas a little bit, but we don't know where you are. You have to figure that part out.
Well, and I do think part of your education is getting out in the real world and talking to other very active investors and looking at the way they have solved or are solving the very same problems you're faced with. And you might pick up an idea here, an idea there, something that somebody's doing, something that somebody says. And obviously, if you're listening to a show like this, you're in the business of collecting ideas, and good for you. But having a real life conversation with somebody who is very active is a great way to go. It's one of the reasons why, in spite of our crazy schedules, Robert and I are always committed to attending and hosting live events, because live events are where real world people get together around a particular area of subject and they begin to talk. The syndication seminar is a great, great place to come because we have so many people who are already active investors. They've solved many of the active investing problems. And what they're trying to solve for is, how do I go to the next level? And some people who decide they want to be full-time in real estate decide to go full-time in real estate and they go get a license, they become a real estate agent or real estate broker with the idea, now I'm going to be full-time, I'll be in the business, I'll be in the deal flow. It's a way for me to kind of get closer to being in it full-time and get paid to be there. That is a way to go. And probably until they changed this law and it was more difficult to go build a network of accredited investors, that was probably a more attractive way. I'm still a big proponent of syndication as a way to do it. And I think the only reason more people don't do it is they don't understand it. They see real estate agents around them all the time, like, oh, I can go do that. That looks easy. These guys hardly work and they make, you know, checks with commas in them when somebody buys a house. Well, I'm here to tell you, and Robert could tell you even more, it's not as easy as it looks. It's hard work and it's extremely competitive. And, you know, I think that if you're a real estate investor, as opposed to somebody that just wants to be around houses, then getting into the syndication business gives you a lot more ways to play. You have the ability to raise really unlimited amounts of money and do really any size deal you want. You can be active in multiple markets, whereas when you're a real estate agent, you're kind of stuck in a particular market. And I'm not saying it's a right or a wrong or it's an either or an or, but I do think a lot of people don't really understand the value and the opportunities that exist in syndication. So if you even think that you're remotely interested in learning what that looks like, come out on March 3rd and 4th in Dallas. We're doing our two-day Secrets of Successful Syndication seminar. Everything is on the website under the events tab at realestateguysradio.com. But we've had a lot of people take that class and end up raising millions of dollars, quitting their full-time jobs. And it really comes back to, we talked about earlier, the internal mission, but there's also the external mission.
Well, and that's important. I think before we go to external mission, I think this idea of attending events and getting around investors is critical to help you shape your thinking. You're going to get some work done when you sit in a room by yourself and have just your thoughts. But what you aren't going to get is exposure to new markets, new ideas, different types of product types, what other people are doing, and so on. You know, a lot of the folks who attend the syndication event attend because they're interested in raising money. But just as valid of a reason and purpose to attend is because you're interested in investing alongside people and you want to know what a good quality syndicator, promoter, and a deal look like. And so to sit in that class for 2 days and go through all of the legal requirements and all of the disclosures and all of the vetting and understand that so that you can then judge an investment you're going to go into could be just as valid. So it's not about attending one of our seminars. It's about getting new ideas into your brain. And part of your lookout for a new year is to decide, are there things I have been exposed to? What about this idea of international investing? Or in 2016, we've had several shows on agricultural investing, something not even on our radar 10 years ago. And today we're spending a lot of time looking at that. So what is possible for you? Now, the external mission, that's what you are going to, through your real estate investing, do for the world.
And that's also important to your motivation. You know, my experience has been most people aren't as selfish as you might think they are. A lot of people think, oh, you know, people are just selfish. They want to make money. They want to make money for themselves. And there certainly are a lot of selfish people out there. But most people are pretty giving. Most people donate. Most people volunteer their time. Most people are willing to help a neighbor in distress. Most people care about the communities they live in. Most people want the world to be a better place. Now, we don't always agree about who and how that should be done or who should lead the effort and all of that. You know, that's why we have a lot of these political discourses that sometimes get a little heated. But God bless everybody who's got a voice in the game because at least they care enough to say something. And I think that's healthy. But the idea of an external mission when you're creating a business is, how are you going to serve the world? And this is important because if you think about this, we go back to the top of the show where we were talking about this idea of 18 years to get to critical mass. And you say, man, if I was just didn't have to go to work for a living, then, and I had this money coming in, I could volunteer at these community organizations that I care about. I could serve in all these different ways for people who can't afford to pay me. And that's great. And if you have a heart like that, you may be able to find a way to serve anyway. You know, like I served as a treasurer for a nonprofit organization for a few years. And before that, I was a speaker for them. And I really, really enjoyed it. And one of the things I was able to do was take my love of real estate and combine it with my role as treasurer to help the ministry figure out how they could syndicate to buy a building instead of paying 50% of their gross revenues out in rent. I mean, they were enriching the landlord. And so, well, we should be able to do this? And why not take the people who are willing to support, instead of asking for donations, ask them to contribute their capital and actually own an asset that is going to be a benefit to a ministry that they actually already care about. And so that was a way to take their real estate investing and have an external mission. It was a way for me to take my love of real estate and my skills as a financial strategist and a salesperson and put them together in doing something where I was able to benefit something that mattered to me that had nothing to do with enriching myself, but it made my life richer. And that's really the key about an external mission, because if it takes 18 years for you to get to critical mass and you die, and all you've done is spend those 18 years trying to accumulate so that you can finally go do what you want to do, I think you've lived a shallow life. I think if you have the opportunity to think about that, if I died broke right now, I still have a rich life, kind of like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, my favorite movie of all time. He was by no means a wealthy man in terms of finances. But at the end, his brother toasts him and says to George Bailey, my brother, the richest man in town. Why? Because he had so many friends, because he'd served so many people. His life mattered in spite of money. Now, if he would have made money on top of that, it would have been better. I'm sure George and his family would have been happier. But that's what an external mission is. That's just as important for getting you up out of bed every day and doing the hard work that you got to do to win in anything you're competing in. So you get the internal mission driving you, being around people you love, doing things you love to do, subject matter you're interested in. The external mission is serving people, making a difference in the world so that the money doesn't even matter. And when you put those two things together in a sound business model with a good financial plan, which is what we started at the top of the show off, I think you've got a winning formula for a successful life. And that's a great way to kick off 2017.
You may not even think about it that way, but for a moment, think about the people you're already serving. Those of us that have residential portfolios, many of the people that rent from us don't have the financial wherewithal to buy a house, the great American dream. But they do have enough money, and they make enough money to be able to rent clean, affordable housing from us. What an amazing service that is. I remember hearing Robert Kiyosaki in our 2012 Investor Summit talk about generosity of entrepreneurs. The fact that if you only own one house and you live in it, well, then you're selfish. But if you own 10 houses or 20 houses or 300 units or 5,000 units, then you're generous, because you are creating housing opportunities for lots and lots of people. It's just a different way to think about it. It's not all altruistic. It's what Jim Rohn would call enlightened self-interest. If I own more real estate, I'm going to increase my cash flow. I'm going to increase my equity. I'm going to have a bigger portfolio. But at the same time, I'm going to help people live better lives. That's the part that's the external. And so who knows what that is for you? You've got to figure that out. Is there a demographic that you can serve that'll have you juiced and jazzed to get up in the morning and go do more? And guess what? When you do more and you make a bigger impact, a bigger dent in the world, as Steve Jobs would say, then more is going to come back to you. That's just how it works. Now, all of this is predicated on you getting up, getting out of bed and going to work. And it's got to drive you to do that. And frankly, the money will only take you so far. If you're only money motivated when you get to that 5,000 or 10,000 or whatever the number is a month, and that's the end of your motivation, then nothing's going to continue to drive you. And maybe that's okay. We're saying that there's a bigger picture out there if you choose to go down that path. So your homework from today's episode is to really get in touch with your inner investor. If you haven't been through the process of developing a personal investment philosophy, you can go through our archives and figure out how to do that. If you are not clear about the markets and product types that you're interested in, talk to investors that are doing those things. See what they're excited about and see why. Lots of folks that we meet who invest in particular markets, particular product types, were like, well, that's great for you. I've got no interest in that. And it's the other way around. People look at what we do in our personal investing lives and go, man, you guys are crazy. But it works for us. So this is all about you. This time of the year, we've just come through kind of the giving season, and that's awesome. Now spend a little time focused on you and what you want to do for yourself, and then the bigger picture of what you can do for the world. And this can be an extraordinary year. There's still time to join us for the Goals Retreat. If you're quick, we're going to be in San Diego, January 6th, 7th, and 8th. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. You'll also see The Secrets of Successful Syndication there in March in Dallas, Texas. If you want to expand your real estate life by doing bigger deals for bigger dollars, then come on out. Either way, thanks for listening. Make it an amazing year and go make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.